And tools that are actually pretty good at redistributing wealth and power. They're called taxes.
How Anthropic markets itself as a moral leader. Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC. This afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
New folk music just keeps on coming. From bands that have been around for many decades to first releases, new music is the power behind the development in folk music. So next time on The Waggle of the Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, it's New Music Monthly, a full hour of new folk music. Won't you join me Sunday afternoon at 3?
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, author Mac Barnett and illustrator and writer John Klassen, frequent collaborators on popular children's books. Barnett's newest is for adults. It's called Make Believe, on telling stories to children. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures, here on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. Many of you know about Radio Catskill's merger with WIOX in Roxbury, New York. My guest today is my friend, Cassie Grabowski, who just so happened to have lived in Roxbury for many years. And I thought it would be great for you, the listener, especially if you're not familiar with Roxbury, which is located upstate at the eastern end of Delaware County, to hear from someone very familiar with the area who also has a distinct connection to WIOX. Let's go. Cassie, thanks so much for joining me today. You are the perfect person to give the listener a sense of Roxbury and the surrounding area.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, Cass.
Glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here, too. Now, you didn't always live upstate. In fact, you were born and raised in New Jersey, but you and your family did live in Vermont for a time. Do you think that might have influenced your desire to live in the country?
Absolutely. I always wanted to live in the country. We only lived there for a year, and I was only 3 years old, but I loved it there. And my sisters didn't love it there.
But what did you love about it? What do you remember at 3 years old?
Being outside all the time during the summer. You know, just the space is so different. The sky is so big.
And you can see the stars as opposed to...
You can see the stars, yeah.
In New Jersey.
Yeah.
Eventually, you and your partner, Bob Akershook, decided to move upstate. Now, Bob was very familiar with the Catskills because he was a fly fisherman. He built his own rods, he tied his own flies, and he was very, very good at it. Tell us about his connection to the Wolf School of Fly Fishing up by the Beaver Kill.
When we lived here in New Jersey, he was already had started tying and building rods, and he took a fly fishing class with Joan Wolf, and he somehow became friends with them and started tying flies for them. Lee Wolf was a very famous fly fisherman. He had a show on TV, it was about fly fishing, and he had his own plane, and he would fly in and fish and fly out. And Bob tied flies for them, and a few of the other famous fly tiers in the area, which were the Deddies and the Darbys.
Wow, he must have been really good to be in that level.
He was really good. They didn't just take anybody's flies.
Okay, so you moved upstate, and at first you lived in Margaretville. Bob was in real estate, and you had several different jobs. What were you doing, Cass?
My very first job up there was at the A&P. I lasted 3 days. I couldn't take I got a job in Woodstock for a real estate sales company, a land sales company. And I worked with them for about 4 years or so. And then real estate wasn't doing very well at that time in the 80s. And I ended up coming back to New Jersey. The person that I worked for called me and she was desperate for somebody, asked me if I would come and work for 6 months, paid me a lot of money. So I said, okay. And I ended up doing that for 6 years.
6 years commuting. But then you did something completely different. Let's hear about that.
Yeah. I bought a restaurant.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. From payroll to a restaurant, which I knew absolutely nothing about. The only experience I had was working with my brother-in-law, who was a caterer, and I'd done some prep work, but never did any real restaurant work. But,
But you are a really good cook.
I knew I could cook, so
Yeah.
that wasn't the issue. It was the whole business itself. And there was a little place in town called Bud's in Roxbury. And the grill was right out front. So you sat at a counter and you watched her cook right there. And that was the most popular place. I figured, yeah, I can watch her. I can do that. And I asked her about it and she said, oh, yeah, you could probably do that. And then I bought the place at Andy's. Had no idea what I was
Oh,
doing, but I was there 11 years. So I guess
yeah,
I figured it
I
out.
think you did. Now, Route 28 goes right through Andes, all the way up to Cooperstown, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
Yep.
And you got all kinds of traffic, all kinds of people coming in there. Tell us what happened in June of 94.
So it was my first summer there, and it was kind of quiet in June. I had a couple of customers. They would come in the afternoon for coffee and pie or whatever. So I had let the waitress go home early because there was nothing going on. And I see this car pull up. I think, oh, geez, these people look familiar. And they get out and they come in, and it's Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. I was gobsmacked. I didn't know what to do. I took their order. I went in the kitchen. I cooked it.
You remember what they ordered?
She had an egg salad sandwich, and he had a burger melt. And a burger melt was a burger between a grilled cheese sandwich with grilled onions. And he asked for the heels of the bread. Silly
So now
kind of
we know a
thing.
little bit more about Paul Newman than we ever
Exactly.
knew. Okay.
And, I brought their food out. They sat on the porch. No one that was in there even recognized them. So I called the local newspaper. Each town had their own little section for local happenings. So I called them and I told them that Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward had come to the restaurant. And she calls me the next day and says, am I supposed to know who they are? There were farmers. They didn't really go to the movies, I guess. They really weren't familiar with who they were. So it was like, okay. And then I told a few other people. Nobody really believed me that they were there. On Monday, the car pulls up again. I'm like, they're back. I was so excited. And then there were a couple of people there. So my waitress was there and Bob was there. They came in to place their order. And I said to him, I'm so happy you came back because no one believed me that you were here. That was the only thing I said to acknowledge that I knew who they were. And when he had sunglasses on and he kind of flipped his sunglasses down, and you could see those blue eyes. So Bob knew it was him when he saw the blue eyes. He didn't believe me, but when he saw those, he knew. And then a couple of weeks later, an autograph photo came in the mail. So,
Oh,
yeah.
that's so nice.
So that's my favorite story from there.
I love that story. Now, that whole area, as I remember, is so pristine and not developed like it is down here. Tell the listener, please, about the memorandum of agreement, because this is a big part of why that area has less development than we do down here.
So in the late 80s, New York City came up with this memorandum of agreement with 12 towns. All of the 12 towns are in the watershed. So this encompasses the Papaquin Reservoir, Cannonsville Reservoir, Ashokan Reservoir, Schoharie, and I think the Croton. I'm not sure about that one. I think the Neversink also. I can't remember how many reservoirs are in that. So basically, what they done is they gave money to these towns to upgrade sewage systems. Roxbury did not have sewers. Most people have septic tanks up there. So they built a sewage treatment plant and got all the village homes. I'm not sure how far out they went. And they're all hooked up to the sewers. And they took out the septic systems so that the water going into the watershed is purer. So they did that in a lot of different towns. And they also subsidized septic systems for farms or other areas that are not right in villages. And they have a whole agriculture program also because of manure runoff and things like that. There was a lot of money that they invested in the towns just to protect the watershed. It has protected the watershed and has also prevented building. You won't see strip malls or some condominiums have gone up and houses have gone up, but not the overbuilding that you see in some other towns, which is fabulous in a way, but it also prevents businesses from building things that would bring jobs to the area.
Mm, there's always a downside.
Yeah.
So Andes and Roxbury are fairly close to each other. Perhaps you could paint a picture of Roxbury for the listener. And although they're not far from each other, they are somewhat different.
Yeah, they're very different. When I was in Andes in my restaurant, I had a lot of farmers. There were several working dairy farms still. And I also had a lot of tourist traffic because I was on the route to Cooperstown,
right,
which again, you have the Hall of Fame there, which is very popular, the Otisaga Hotel, which is very famous. And just a lot more traffic there. Roxbury is artsier. There's more artsy people. They built condominiums that were supposed to be like an artist retreat. I don't think that ever really materialized as an artist retreat, but I think there's only one farm left in Roxbury that's actually a working farm. One or two, not many.
And of course, you also have the Roxbury Hotel, which is
we have the famous Roxbury Hotel. Yep, which is fabulous.
Yeah, it is
fabulous.
People should go online and look it up.
People should go online and check it out. There's north and south. The two locations are about a mile apart, but they are all themed rooms, but not tacky in any way. They're kind of over the top, but they're fun, and people love them.
Mm-hmm. So when did you and Bob decide to open Cassie's Cafe, and tell us about that?
After I sold Cassie's Kitchen in Andes, I went to work for a resort, and I had been looking at a deli in Roxbury, and I didn't really want to go back into the restaurant business. I thought a deli would work, but the one that was for sale, it just didn't work for me. And at that point, Bud's, the place where I decided I would buy the other restaurant, was in foreclosure. And Bob was like, we can't let that close. You know, it's the lifeblood of the community. These little towns have these little restaurants that's where people gather. I don't think there's any bars in town anymore, as a matter of fact. But restaurants, they'll go, they'll have coffee, they'll, you know, shoot the breeze and talk about all the politics and everything of the world and go home on their way.
It's like Cheers.
It's like Cheers. It's very much like Cheers. Yeah. I had regular customers in both places that were there every morning. And so I bought that place but bought the building, not just the business, and renovated it. And it was actually the first building where the renovations started in Roxbury. Because again, everything was kind of going downhill, but now it was coming back up.
Yay.
I put my place up, and then the place next door got sold, and the place across the street got sold. So I kind of started a trend there in Roxbury.
It always takes one brave person.
It takes one, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we'll take a break here, Cassie. And when we return, let's talk about WIOX, the station in Roxbury that Radio Catskill is merging with. This is Catskill Character on Radio Catskill with today's guest, Cassie Grabowski. We'll be right back.
This Week in This American Life, Pablo has big dreams. He very recently started painting portraits of members of Congress.
Were those Mitch McConnells, in your opinion, were they good? I can't think of a single Mitch McConnell I ever did that was good.
Undeterred, he tries everything he can think of to get his work hung inside the Capitol Rotunda. What happens? That's this week.
This American Life, tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. So let's talk about the dream food job, becoming a restaurant critic. Well, it might not be as plum as it sounds. We're talking about the highs and the lows of the job this week with Bill Addison from the LA Times and Winnie Moranville, a longtime critic in Iowa. It's coming up this week on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Jack Schlossberg, the Kennedy heir and political influencer who's running for a seat in Congress.
I understand that content creation is a new profession and that it's not synonymous for many people with a quote-unquote real job. You have to make an argument in 90 seconds with a lot of complicated information.
I'll talk with Jack Schlossberg next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. My guest today is Cassie Grabowski, formerly of Roxbury, New York, and she's going to tell us about her very personal connection to WIOX, the radio station that Radio Catskill is merging with. Let's get back to it. Cassie, what do you know of the early life of WIOX?
As far as I know, the building was empty. And it was a former Masonic lodge. Big open space downstairs. They put in the studio upstairs and more open space up there. But it's right in the village, two doors away from my house.
Oh, two doors away from your house.
Yes.
And so you saw the whole building.
Transition.
The transition, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so cool. So you haven't been up there for a while, but what do you remember about the shows on WIOX?
The shows on WIOX were very diverse. There were a lot of music shows and different kinds of music. Rock and roll, there was heavy metal, there was mellow stuff. There's one show where she does a lot of show tunes. There was an accordion show when the guy played just all accordion music.
That's great.
And talk shows. There's a show about farming. I know there's a forestry show. There's a lot of different things. Yeah.
I don't remember how many shows I heard that were on, but it was a lot.
There's a lot. Still to this day.
Did you know the guys who started the station?
I did not really know them, but Bob, my partner, became involved with them. And he was a DJ in college. And he started his college radio station. He was in communications in college. So he started that and
he helped
went from
them.
There.
Yeah.
And he helped them set everything up and get it all going. Yeah.
It was sort of my understanding. I could be totally wrong. Kind of like you didn't really know about running a restaurant. They didn't really have that firsthand experience like Bob did of running a radio station.
I honestly don't remember whether they did or not. Joe Piasek, who is one of the founding members, I don't remember who the other partners were in that. He's a professor, I think, don't quote me, but NYU, I think, in communications. And that's how he decided to do this.
Okay.
And they had a second home up there. You know, everyone has a second home. We were first homeowners, but these other people were like second homeowners that decided to do this.
Right. Who is the goth lady? What was her show like?
You know, I don't really know what she played. Her name is Chelsea, but I guess I don't know what goth music is.
I guess goth music, yeah.
I guess. I don't really know what that is.
So it was a whole show dedicated to goth music.
Yes, yeah.
Now, the reason you're so familiar with this station is, of course, you said that Bob helped them, but Bob also what?
Bob was the first DJ to air his show on WIOX.
That is so amazing.
And he was so excited. When they first started talking about this, Bob got very excited. So he was involved really right from the beginning. I mean, he really was dedicated to his show. He worked on it for hours and hours. He taped most of his stuff at home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, brought it to the station, and
he had to walk all the way down the street.
He had to walk all the way down the street.
His show was, of course, a music show. Was it diverse also, or did he focus on one particular kind of music?
His show was called This Is the Rock, and the theme song was This Is the Rock, which was a Fleetwood Mac song. And he did rock and roll. And, you know, he was kind of stuck in the past.
Uh-huh.
He didn't play a lot of new music. He didn't listen to a lot of new music, but he played all the old stuff. So he did folk, he did rock and roll, and he threw jazz in there and everything. So he basically played the stuff that he liked.
It was a mixed bag.
It was a mixed bag, exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly, his friend Paul used to have a show called Mixed Bag. And it's a WFUV show.
So Bob was, let's say it, he was pretty well known up there. He was like a celebrity.
He was also a real estate broker, so people
yes.
knew him from that. And he was also a golfer, and he also built golf clubs. So he built golf clubs?
He
did build golf clubs for a lot of people.
And let's face it, he was also the greeter at Cassie's Cafe.
He was the greeter, yes. He was the host, not so much with the mostest, but he was the host.
Well, Bob was also a little grumpy sometimes.
Yeah, he was.
It's kind of funny that he would be a host, right?
Yes.
But he pulled it off.
He pulled it off, yeah.
Yeah.
He did good.
He did good. And sadly, Bob passed away suddenly when you were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you and what?
We were in Charleston, South Carolina.
Right.
And we went to visit a friend and play golf, which we did. We were there. I think it was our first day out on the golf course. He had a great round and we were going out to dinner and he had a heart attack.
Oh.
And he passed away.
He had a heart attack when you went out to dinner. I always
thought we're in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But we have to say this. They talk about people dying with their boots on. He practically died with his golf cleats on.
He did.
Which couldn't have been any better for me. And wasn't he saying what a great day it was? And
he did. He had a great round. And, you know, it was a good day.
It was a good day.
Go out on a good day.
Right. He was still doing the radio show at that time.
He was still doing the radio show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think somebody else was covering for him while we were on vacation, but...
Oh, I'm so sorry, Cassie. That was a shock. So, you sold your business, and then eventually you sold your beautiful Victorian house. What's in the space now where the restaurant was?
It's still a restaurant, but it's different. I used to open at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. I was open till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I did breakfast and lunch, and breakfast was my biggest time. He does breakfast and lunch, but he doesn't open till 10. So I think he misses out on a lot of the weekenders anyway, for sure. And even the locals. The locals don't really go there that as much anymore because he's not that crowd that I had. They moved to the Red Barrel, you know, the convenience store. That's where they have their coffee now. Yeah.
Oh. You know, we forgot to talk about was the Biddies.
The Biddies. That was in Andes, and I had a group of women. They were all widows. I think there were 6 of them and 1 man. We reserved a table for them right in the front where the windows were so they could see everybody walking by, make all their comments. and Bob was always telling them jokes and kidding around with them, and he named them the Biddies. And he even had a little sign made and hung it over the table for them.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
And didn't you have a different group when you had Cassie's Cafe in Roxbury?
So in Roxbury, I had a group of men that would come in every morning. Again, there were like 6 of them. And, you know, they'd have their endless cups of coffee and discuss all the trials and tribulations of the world.
I love that. That's so, like, quaint and...
It is. I do miss that.
Did you ever get in on any of the conversations, or are you too busy in the kitchen?
Me in the kitchen now. I'm too far away from them.
So you moved back to New Jersey in 2022. How has the transition been for you?
You know, it's not like I was away for 40 years, but my family was still here, so I would always be coming back and forth to visit. I guess I transitioned pretty easy. I like it here. I like where I live.
You got a great condo with a pool.
I have a great condo with two pools.
Two pools, excuse me.
Two pools, no waiting. It's pretty good. I like it here. The thing that I miss up there is I miss the quiet, because it is not quiet here. Where I live, I am between Newark Airport and Teterboro Airport.
Oh,
Teterboro Airport is the busiest private airport in the country.
Is that so?
Yeah. And so there's planes going over constantly. So there's a lot of air traffic up there. There was zero air traffic.
Right.
If a plane went over, you looked up because it was so rare.
You and looked up and made sure it wasn't coming down on top of you.
Exactly. And here is, it's just constant. And the traffic here, of course, too, is everywhere you go is traffic. Up there, the traffic was, you know, maybe a cow crossing the road or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Occasionally.
Have you been able to tune it out? Are you used to it now?
Yeah, I have gotten used to it now. The first year, I was like, what is going on? Why? That was before I realized Teterboro was so busy.
Oh, yeah. You told me earlier that once you got back to New Jersey, you realized that you had been living in a foreign country. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I guess there, it's country. So, you know, a lot of flannel shirts and, you know, just country people. Just, it's very different here. Here, there's so many different people. The way they dress is so different. I don't know. I just feel like it was, I guess because I was there for so long, it's just so different. And here, I don't know why I thought it was a foreign country, but I feel like it was a foreign country.
And politically, it's very different also.
It's very Republican.
Yeah, upstate, very Republican, and where you live in Essex County is very Democratic.
Very Democratic,
So, very different. Cassie, thank you so much for joining me today, you know, and giving the listener a tour of the area up there and WIOX. It's really been fun having you on.
Thanks, Donna. It's been fun being on.
Oh, good. You've been listening to Catskill Character with today's guest, Cassie Grabowski. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 11:30. Be sure to join us then for more fascinating stories from fabulous characters of the Catskills. I'm Donna Fillenberg. This is Radio Catskill. Thanks so much for listening.
June 19th, noon to 4, marks the Juneteenth Festival Barbecue in Liberty, a day of fun, self-expression, and creativity. The Sullivan County Chapter of the NAACP invites the community to Hanafy Park for live performances, local vendors, children's activities, food and drinks, and more. Celebrate freedom, creativity, resilience, and expression while reflecting on the journey from our past to our present and future. June 19th is Juneteenth in Liberty. More information on Facebook at Sullivan County NAACP.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Paula Poundstone was excited about the new trend of TV shows starring senior citizens.
Have you heard about a new one of those reality shows, Cops? But it's older cops and the criminals just get away.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for the show made for fun, vibrant young people like you with the debut of our new official judge and scorekeeper. That's this week's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
New Mexico's Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham led her state to some remarkable firsts.
The first state to provide child care at no cost, to have universal child care. How are you paying for it?
We didn't just do it overnight, so we did a series of investments.
As her final term comes to an end, we'll talk with the governor about how states are changing American lives for the better when the federal government won't. That's on the next On Point.
Monday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.